Hey Grow Girls, you are listening to the Get Up and Grow Girl podcast, hosted by me, your multifaceted manifestation coach, Leela Jasmine Seeley. I have been on a journey from being addicted to the hustle, disconnected from my feminine energy, linking my worth to my productivity, and giving away all of my power to toxic relationships, to manifesting my dream soul-led business, my freedom island lifestyle, my dream partner, and honestly, so much more. So now it's my mission to help you heal and create your "is this freaking real" moments in life. This podcast will guide you on your journey to finding your light, healing your conditioning, and unlocking the power that resides within you. So let's dig in. I'm coming to you from London, where I'm back, or from the UK, and today's episode is all about manifesting relationships. It is that time of year where I am relaunching The Goddess in a Circle, so everything that I want to share with you is so much inspiration coming up around what it takes to manifest your dream relationship, and also what gets in the way of this happening, and the common things that you might be doing, most of which are things that I did, and that's how I'm able to share this, that are actually blocking you from manifesting the thing that you say you want, from manifesting perhaps your dream partner, your dream man. So in this episode, let's talk about dopamine dating, which is potentially something that is stopping you from meeting your dream man. And you maybe are thinking that you're doing everything right, but actually you are engaging in some of these dopamine dating tactics that I'm going to teach you about, and they are unconsciously blocking you from meeting this person. They are self-sabotage mechanisms that are very sneaky and hidden and that you may not see. So before we dive in, I just want to say that I am staying with my family as I'm home in the UK, and typically I've come home being like, oh, some stability, some sense of home, some calm, some peace. And there's literally like a bulldozer in the back garden having huge building work. So if you can hear a little bit of background noise, that's what it is. But I just thought this podcast has always been casual and informal. Why stop now? And why let that be a reason not to share this with you? So dopamine dating. What actually is dopamine dating? And why should you care? Well, you should care because if you want to manifest your dream relationship, dopamine dating is something that is most likely taking you this way, taking you off path. You're like, I want to manifest my dream relationship. I want to manifest XYZ in a partner. And your intention is saying one thing, but your actions are saying another. And again, dopamine dating is something that you're most likely doing unconsciously because it is that kind of craving for dopamine that is leading you to act a certain way, and it's a part of like the nervous system. It's something that you're not using your mind to do, but your body is craving. So dopamine dating is basically dating with a short-term fix in mind. You are dating with this desire of feeling this dopamine rush, feeling those like hormone levels and that almost like high feeling that you get from a hit of dopamine. The problem with this though is that dopamine dating is prioritizing this short-term fix over what will actually lead you to long-term fulfillment, satisfaction, and basically a healthy relationship. Dopamine dating is kind of the opposite of a healthy, grounded relationship. So whilst it might feel good in the short term, in the long term, it'll actually lead you further away from a healthy relationship. So there are three kind of archetypes or ways that dopamine dating shows up that I'm going to break down to you so that you can see if you are doing this, how you are doing this, and where this comes from, so that you can change it and you can stop it in its tracks, and therefore you can get back on track to manifesting your dream person. So the first archetype that I want to break down is the dopamine serial dater. this is somebody, and if you are in this stage of your life, and if you are in this archetype, and I definitely was there, you may find that you are like a serial kind of like dating app person. You're on lots of different dating apps, or you're chatting always to lots of different people from dating apps. And that in itself is not a bad thing, of course. But potentially what you're doing is finding that anytime there's a possibility of, you know, attention from a guy, there's somebody who could be a potential date, you shall dive in. I like to say, where there's a man, you shall dive in. And the reason for this is because you are a dopamine serial dater. It means you're craving that dopamine, and you're using dating as a means to get these dopamine fixes. So whether you go to a party and there's a guy there who starts chatting to you, you will dive in, and you will sort of probably go quite quickly from zero to not 100, but let's say 50, and start talking to this person regularly, maybe meeting up with them, maybe getting physical with them, whatever it is. You may find that you go to a bar, and every time you go to a bar, there's somebody new that you start entertaining. And I want to speak to your ego for a second and say that this is not anything to do with, like, you might be like, oh, well, I just get attention, you know, like, I can't help that. This podcast is all about getting you to see how your behavior links in, not just the behaviors of others. So even though people might regularly, you know, hit on you, so to speak, the dopamine serial data archetype is when you are constantly entertaining them all. And no matter how many people come your way, it's obviously always your choice who you engage with, that you may engage with a lot of people. Now, again, this in itself is not a bad thing. So you might be thinking, why am I slating you on this? But the problem with this is the reason behind this, the intention behind the dopamine data, is simply to get that attention fix, to get that sense of validation, to get that sense of somebody kind of making you feel good about yourself. And so what happens is you don't have a screening process, or you're not going in with any consciousness in mind and any intentionality about what you want in a person. And you might be thinking, yeah, it's just a bit of fun. But then you're going in, maybe dating lots of different people, maybe anyone that kind of comes into your life and is like, you know, giving you attention or hitting on you, you tend to engage and you tend to go on dates with, without actually asking yourself, do I like this person? Is this person serving me in my life? Do they embody what it is that I want to attract in somebody? And I did this for a very long time, that I actually, anytime a guy would, you know, start speaking to me, either in the DMs or on the street or when I went out somewhere, I would just be like, yeah, sure, you want to go out? Yeah, sure. And I wouldn't even ask myself, do I like this person? One, am I attracted to them? Two, what vibes are they giving me? What energy am I getting? Am I getting signals that this is somebody in the kind of energy I want? Is this someone who's embodying certain traits that I desire, the things that I maybe even need? I probably didn't even know my needs at that point, but even just forgetting needs and thinking about desires, I wasn't doing it. So then what I did was go and date many, many people without screening, without actually really checking in and asking myself, is this actually aligned? Is this gonna meet my desires? Then what happens, and this is where the vicious cycle begins, is you've not screened these people, sounding like kind of FBI stuff, but you've not just done a simple check of, does this align for me? Simple one-liner. You've gone in thinking, this feels nice, this is attention, this is giving me dopamine, it's someone new. It's almost a little bit of an ego stroke when you're dating someone in the early stages, and it's all very flirtatious, and yeah, that can seem harmless. But then what can happen is cycles can repeat. And you might have chosen someone, for example, in wounded masculine energy, someone who's just there for also the ego boost, who wants to see if they can get you, or just wants to see if, you know, they're attractive to you, or is just not grounded, maybe is not consistent, maybe has a lot of wounds, and so will be like full on girlfriend treatment and then just disappear when it gets too close, or any of these, it doesn't really matter which, any toxic kind of dating behavior, they may then do that just because that's who they are. But you failed to screen for it. You failed to see, is this someone who actually is worth my time and energy? Not in the sense of self-worth, but is aligning to the things I want. Is this someone who's capable of perhaps emotional intimacy? Is this someone who's capable of maybe just making me feel safe by not just ghosting me 1 second and then coming back? You haven't asked yourself any of these things. So then when they engage in this toxic behavior, maybe it's ghosting, maybe it's gaslighting, maybe it's just, you know, being completely not open for commitment. You are going to feel shit, right? You're going to feel that feeling of, oh, again. The problem is it's strengthening your limiting beliefs. You might think, oh, well, if it doesn't work out, that's fine. Plenty more fish in the sea. Yes, absolutely true. However, your paradigm, when you're trying to manifest your dream partner, it's so important to embed positive beliefs and feelings around dating, around relationships. And when you have a bad dating experience, what happens? It strengthens those limiting beliefs that men are trash. There's no good men left out there. Men always treat me badly. No men want commitment. There's no loyal men out there. These are all potential limiting beliefs you may have experienced. And I know some of them I definitely experienced. You're just strengthening that belief. So you're making it so that your brain sees the data, sees what just happened with this guy and says, let's reinforce it. See, data processing in the brain. See, you believe men are trash and you're right because look what this guy just did. Or you believe that men are only going to hurt you. And look, you're correct because look what he just did. And so it's not actually harmless dating because what it's doing is strengthening your resistance to a relationship. It's pulling you further and further away from being energetically aligned to a relationship and to your dream relationship because it's making you more and more sure that it's not possible, that it's not for you, that men are not perhaps capable of it. And all of that stuff is creating your energy around relationships, giving you that like kind of bitter energy, I have to say, or maybe making you guarded so you're not open and receptive and just again, pulling you out of alignment. So the dopamine serial data you can see is leading you off that path from manifesting that person because of these things. It's so important to recognize that just a bit of dopamine and a bit of a hit, whilst it might be like, oh, okay, I'm in a bar and someone flirted with me and I had a little chat and that can be harmless. If you have slipped into the dopamine serial data archetype, this is something that you're doing regularly. You are always kind of in entertaining or speaking to certain guys that perhaps there's nothing really there. You're not really actually allowing yourself to build a foundation. To be honest, this can also be that you're getting physical quickly with these people without letting it build a foundation and without letting you see if they are capable of embodying what it is you want to attract. And then it hurts again even more because you bond through that physical intimacy and then you kind of open yourself up and your emotions up and your heart up. Even if you don't think you do, there is an energetic exchange when you get physical with somebody. And so then if they do engage in some toxic behaviors, because that's where they're at in life, they're not healed, they're not doing the healing work, they're not very conscious, they're living from their wounds, you're going to then have that extra mark, that notch on your heart, that scar on your heart, and that reinforcing of your limiting beliefs. So actually, contrary to popular belief, dating more isn't actually necessarily going to help you to manifest your dream person because it can just repeat old cycles, but especially not if you are doing it from a dopamine serial data archetype. And of course, this comes back to why do we crave these dopamine spikes? And a big part of it in this sense is it's that validation. It's wanting that sense of someone making you feel good about yourself when of course we need to create that from within. Okay, the second archetype is the dopamine diehard. Now, this is the person, and this, I think I did this even more than I did the first one when I was single and before I had really started my healing journey in terms of relationships, I would say I probably did this one the most, which is the dopamine diehard. And that is where basically in a line, you are going for the most hard to get people. And it's giving Beauty and the Beast. It's giving Beauty and the Beast energy. it's that sense of, let me go for the beast, because if I can change him and turn him into a prince, a good guy, then I must be special. Then I must be good enough. Then I know I'm worthy. Then I made him change. I'm special. I'm good enough. I'm worthy. All of these things. It's all about, again, affirming our own identity and reassuring ourselves that we are enough. And so how this can actually look is often going for people in avoidant energy. Now, a man in avoidant energy will be someone who is perhaps, like, you know, open and comes across a normal sort of date at first, but is likely to push you away once you get close, giving you that hot and cold energy of one second we're good, the next we're bad. One second we're good, the next I'm just gone. One second I'm texting you and flirting with you and being very attentive, and then suddenly I'm avoiding your message, I'm not replying very quickly. I am saying, like, oh yeah, I'll call you about going on a date again, and then I'm not calling you. I'm cancelling dates. I'm giving you this energy of, I don't know what the F just happened, because it was going so well, and suddenly he's being really inconsistent. And when they do this, again, you've had a dopamine deprivation, because everything was good, everything was normal, and then suddenly they stopped meeting your needs, they stopped being attentive, they withdrew, and you were used to getting a certain baseline of attention, and then suddenly they step back. So then suddenly you've gone from a baseline to deprivation. And so in terms of your, you know, what's going on in the chemicals in your body, this is actually going to put you into that state of shock and deprivation, and you are going to crave it. It's like an addiction. When this guy starts stepping back from you, and he was telling you you're lovely, you're great, he really likes you, has so much fun with you, he was always messaging you, flirting with you, telling you you're beautiful, whatever, and then suddenly he sort of is like replying one or two words to your messages, or he used to reply instantly and now he's like replying like the next day, and you just feel that I was getting this sense of stability and now I'm not, you've pulled back. When that happens, it's natural for your body to crave it, to go back to how it was. And so when you are the dopamine diehard, what you're going to do is become addicted to that. Instead of recognizing it for what it is and stepping back early on, you're going to want it more. And so the dopamine diehard is someone who chases and chases and is actually going to go for these people who are hard to get. There could be someone right here on your left who's so lovable, who's so genuine, who's so consistent, but you just won't even see them because the dopamine deprivation makes you just want these people who are playing hard to get. The harder they play, the more you want them, because you need to know, and it's a sense of feeling, I need to prove myself, I need to be good enough. He's making me feel not good enough because suddenly he was interested and suddenly now he's not replying and he's being distant, and it's making me think, what did I do wrong, or what doesn't he like about me? And so you try to chase him to affirm that there's nothing wrong with you, that you're good enough. So how does this stop you and block you from meeting your dream man, you might be wondering? Because when you're putting your energy into this, again, it's all coming from ego, and on a deeper level it's coming from the chemical cravings in your body due to his up and down behavior or his avoidant behavior. And so it's not actually what your heart and your soul needs to be happy, to be fulfilled, to feel safe in a relationship, to genuinely connect. It's not those things that you're chasing after. It's like a heroin addict. If you've seen this show on Netflix, a new show, Painkiller, I only think it just came out, but I've started watching it, you will have seen that when people get addicted to something, they lose sense, their personality changes. All they can think about is getting that fix. And when you've got somebody very avoidant that you're getting into the diehard role with, where you just, essentially, you're dying hard, like you won't let go. You know, how is it Bruce Willis? I think, is it Bruce Willis? Who, is he diehard? I think so. Where he just won't die. He's just invincible. Like, things that should have killed him, he just lives, right? For you as a dopamine dater, it's like, when the guy is doing things that you should just be like, I'm done, I'm walking away, he's not meeting my needs, he's not giving me attention, he's not being consistent, red flags, whatever, I should be done, but somehow I still want him. It's like when an addict is like, I'm losing myself, I'm losing my sense of self, I've lost my job, I've lost my family, I've lost, you know, addicts lose everything around them, but they still want that fix. And this is the way that you're going into dating when you're being the dopamine diehard. And of course, that's stopping you from meeting your dream person, because it's not actually become about what you truly need to be in a fulfilling relationship. It's just become about the short-term fix of, I need that dopamine, and I'm going to get that dopamine when he comes back and he gives me attention. Even if this person is clearly showing me that they can't meet my needs long-term, it doesn't matter. I can't see that. I've got tunnel vision on the short-term fix. So it's pulling you more towards this unhealthy, often wounded masculine person, often person in avoidant energy who's not capable of healthy commitment. It's pulling you towards them and away from what is healthy. And the person who is healthy probably starts to look boring to you because of you're not getting those spikes and then deprivation. You're getting a steady stream, and that starts to feel boring because you are so dysregulated in your nervous system. So again, it can seem like a bit of like, oh no, it's just that, you know, we'll excuse the dopamine diehard to ourselves by saying, oh no, it's not that deep, it's just that, you know, we have something special and I just want to see. I'm laughing because this is literally how I would justify it to my friends in the past. I'd be like, use this like fake chill voice to be like, no, it's fine. And I'd be like, no, it's not that deep, it's just like, I genuinely think we have something special, and what have I got to lose? Like, I'd rather see it through, is what we say. When really, if you look around, you're feeling anxious, your anxiety's at a high, you're feeling like you're unable to like really truly focus on other things. You're off until you get that text, you feel like you can't focus. If he's ghosted you and if he hasn't replied to your message, it throws off your day, your whole day, until you get that message, because that dopamine and that sense of wounding of not feeling good enough until you hear back is deep and is strong. And often you might even start to sacrifice things that are important to you in your life. Like when he, you know, does message back, you'll drop everything. If you were meant to meet up with a friend, you'll cancel. If you were meant to stay late at work, you'll leave early. If you were meant to finish that project that you really said that you want to do, you'll drop it all because you need the dopamine more than you need any of that. You need the validation. So it can fuck up your life essentially, but we'll present it as, it's not that deep, it's just that I genuinely think there's a connection, it's worth pushing through. But you have to ask yourself, have I done this before? That's how you know if you are stuck in the dopamine diehard. Have I done this before? Is he not the first person that I felt like this with, where it's kind of created a lot of anxiety, where I know if I look on paper or if I talk to my friends, they're like, he's not meeting your needs, he's inconsistent, he doesn't do what he say he'll do. You can't rely on him, you don't feel safe around him, you never know what he's thinking. One second he's here, the next he's gone. He's not right for you, but you just still go for that type of guy. That is the dopamine diehard. And then lastly, the third one, we have the dopamine deprived fixer. Now, the dopamine deprived fixer is someone who usually has been in a relationship with someone for a long time who does not meet your needs. Either a relationship or a situationship. So maybe you're not even officially in a relationship, you're not boyfriend and girlfriend, but you've been seeing this person, you've been involved with this person for a long time. I was in this situation again. You might be wondering, how can you have been in all these situations? Well, this is why I teach relationships and why I help people heal in relationships, because I went through, they've been one of my biggest teachers in life is relationships, because I went through all kinds of shit. I just dove into relationships in such an unhealthy way, and they were such a place of wounding for me, that yes, I have been through each of these things, and it's through becoming conscious of them, understanding where they come from, healing them, and doing all of that so that I could manifest my dream partner who I'm with now, that I have the knowledge and that I actually understand this. And you might be like, why are you reading my mind? It's because I've been there, and since then I've seen so many other people that I work with do all these things too. It's very common, you're not alone, but it's not healthy, and it isn't going to help you to manifest your man. So, the dopamine-deprived fixer has been in a relationship for a long time or a situationship with someone that doesn't meet their needs. So their needs are chronically undermet. It's just been so long that you've got used to it. Most likely you've got used to being with someone who it isn't safe to talk about your feelings with, who talking about your feelings with will get you into an argument, or they'll tell you that you're being oversensitive, or they'll gaslight you if you pull them up on something and say that it's your fault and that you're just oversensitive, or you're always like dramatic, or you make a big deal, or you're never satisfied with them. They perhaps turn it on you. It's maybe not safe to speak your truth and express yourself. Maybe you can't rely on them if you're going through something or you need some help with something. They might say they'll be there and then not be there, or sometimes they'll be attentive and other times you'll be going through something and they just will not show up for you. Whatever, in whatever way it is, it can, that's just a couple of your needs. It can be many more. They're not meeting your needs. They haven't met them for a long time. So what happens when your needs aren't getting met? You're not getting the love. You're not feeling seen. You're not getting love. You're not getting comfort. You're not getting true companionship and safety for your nervous system of knowing you can rely on that person. You go into dopamine deprivation because you're not getting the things that give you dopamine in a healthy way. Connection, companionship, love, all of these things, affection. So you are deprived of dopamine. So then what happens is you decide you want to fix them, because occasionally when you do see them and they do meet your needs in whatever way, it feels so good. It feels like euphoric because you haven't got that for so long. For example, when I was being fully transparent with you, when I was in this situation, it was 3 years on and off that I was in this dopamine deprived fixer role. And he wouldn't like message me between meeting up and just ask me how my day was or check in with me. We just wouldn't speak. I wouldn't get that any attention or affection or whatever, companionship. And then once in a while he would like message and be like, oh, I'm gonna come and see you. And when he came and saw me, that sense of, oh, he's coming to see me. My friends would be like, you haven't seen him in a month. He hasn't made any effort with you in a month. It wouldn't matter because it just felt so special that he's coming to see me, because I was used to such a low level that it felt euphoric. And not only that, when we would get physical, once I would see him, that physical connection, physical intimacy felt like love, right? Because I was not getting an everyday handhold, or in a healthy relationship now, you know, I'll get my hand held every day, I'll get cuddles, I'll get forehead kisses, I'll get snuggles. So I'm used to healthy doses of affection, but I would have nothing for a month and then we'd meet up, we'd see each other, we'd spend the day together, I'd get his nice side, and then we'd have physical intimacy and it would feel like this is so, like the sex is so good. We must be like, the chemistry is there, we must be like, the connection is so real, and I would believe that this is obviously worth it and that it's worth fighting for and that I can help him because the connection is so powerful, so euphoric, chemistry 100, that it must be meant to be. When actually what I now understand is it wasn't that. It was that I hadn't had affection for so long that when we met up and that was the only time I would get affection, it would feel amazing because I was in so much in deprivation. It's like if you've not eaten, right? If you've been like, sometimes you have a really long day and you don't eat, and then you eat and it's like, oh my God, tastes so good. Or you haven't had chocolate or pizza or something that you find a treat, coffee, whatever, and then you have one and it's like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And like, it's like some shitty instant coffee, but it just tastes so good because you haven't had it in so long. That's exactly what's happening. So because you're in deprivation, then you get these spikes once in a while because they're giving you the bare minimum. They're giving you a drop of water when you're starving, but that drop tastes incredible because you're dehydrated. You're so dehydrated and they give you a drop of water and it feels amazing. When really it's nothing. You need way more, right? When you're in the desert and you're absolutely dehydrated and you're basically dying slowly and you get a drop of water, it's going to feel divine, but in reality it's not going to help you at all. It's not enough, right? It's not what you need, but you'll take it because you're in deprivation. That's what's happening here. And so because of that, and because of how good that droplet feels, you will want to fix them. Most likely you'll be like, oh, but it's so worth it, even though it's shit 7 days or 6 days of the week, that one day feels so good that I can fix them. I can make that one day bigger. And we think that that version of them that we see, we can make it the version that we get all the time. So you will climb Mount Everest. You will put up with all the shit. You will take whatever they throw your way. You will allow yourself most likely to spiral in mental health, maybe to even spiral in your physical health. I know that my mental health was in the absolute shitter when I was in this situationship, this 3-year situationship. And that was before coming a life coach. And it's a big part of the reason I became a life coach was because of how broken I felt during those 3 years. But my physical health suffered too. So much inflammation. My skin was always flared up. Digestive issues, because I was in a constant state of nervousness. So you might let everything in your life spiral down, but you'll keep thinking, you'll be like climbing Mount Everest, like, if I can get through this difficult patch, like, I'll be able to make this relationship work, I'll be able to change him. And you might be thinking all of these things. Again, it's the beauty and the beast. It's this fairy tale that you've probably been conditioned to believe, that if you work hard enough, if you be special enough, if you be good enough, if you could be prettier, fitter, healthier, smarter, more patient with him, he will change. And you internalize it as your fault and believe that you have the power to change him, when rationally, hopefully, we all know that we cannot change anyone. They can only change themselves. People can change, but only when they decide they want to change, and you cannot make them. And there's another myth that we think, like, if I can be special enough, I'll motivate him to want to change. It has to come from him. You could be the most amazing person in the world and he won't be ready to change. And nothing you do can change that. And again, it took me 3 years to realize this. So you keep going back. You keep trying to fix him. You're putting all your energy into it. You're depleting yourself. Because the dopamine that you get, one, when you meet up and he does meet your needs for that one tiny period of time, and two, if you see a change in him in any small way, you get a dopamine rush. The idea of being able to be the one that fixes him, that changes him, that helps him, gives you a dopamine rush. It gives you an ego boost. It makes you feel special. It's that hero mentality, that fixer, that Mother Teresa, you know, you want to be the person to save him. It comes from our ego again. And often we'll do this because of our own insecurities, that we don't feel good enough. So we take on people as projects because we think if we can change them, if we can do something good for someone else, then we must be good enough. And it's coming from our own wounds again. So again, how does this one actually stop you from meeting your man? Because you might be thinking, okay, so I know it's kind of toxic for my health, but how does that stop me from meeting my man? And I know a lot of people will be in this situation, and it is addictive, as with all of these, due to the dopamine. And they'll think to themselves, they'll say, yeah, I know it probably won't work, but like, I'm going to keep trying until someone else comes along and I meet someone else that's the right for me, then I'll stop. But until then, I'm going to keep trying because I think there's something there. And the thing you don't see is that you're not going to meet your person whilst you're doing this. Because one, your attention is so stuck on this person that you're trying to fix that you become blind to other people. You become so wrapped up into this. It's called a toxic relationship for a reason, because it isolates you from everything else in your life, your work, your friends. They all start to, you start to give them less and less attention when you're stuck in the situation. So you're not able to see that other person. Also, you're not energetically aligned to that other person. If someone comes along who is healthy for you, most likely you're not going to see it. You're not going to feel that connection because, one, they're not giving you these crazy dopamine spikes, which are actually unhealthy. And so you just mistake that for boring, for lack of connection. Also, you're so used to toxic dynamics and chasing people and allowing your boundaries to be overstepped that if someone healthy does come your way, you're probably going to start co-creating toxic dynamics. Because everyone has a sense of ego within them and some wounding. And if you're very like fawning around someone and feeling unworthy, then you can actually trigger the part of them that, you know, might take advantage of that. Either they're going to start taking advantage of it, or they're going to leave because they're like, this person is not ready for what I'm ready for. And it's very, very unlikely. We have this, again, conditioning that it's going to be our knight in shining armor is going to come and save us from the toxic relationship. But life doesn't actually work that way, because if someone does come and try to save you when you're still wrapped up in it and you're still chasing them, if a guy does come along, and I've done this too, when I was in this situationship, then I kind of had a knight in shining armor and I thought this was like great. And actually, if someone's coming to save you and being the knight in shining armor, that's usually their own wounds. And they want to be the hero for you, and they're doing exactly what you did, chasing after this person. They're doing it to you. They're trying to win you and to be your savior. But often that's coming from a deeper wound that, if not addressed later in your relationship, is going to cause problems and probably going to cause the breakdown of your relationship, because they're seeking out you for ego. And this isn't saying that you're not good, you're not good enough, you're not someone that people would like just because. You can be the most amazing person, but they're again trying to save you to prove to themselves that they're good enough. And so once that dopamine, they've got it, they've saved you, maybe you broke up with the other person and jumped straight into a relationship with this person, eventually that dopamine's going to wear off and they're going to need it from someone else. And that's when they could be unfaithful. That's when they can decide that the relationship is now boring because it's not meeting that, leave you, go for someone else, maybe just be constantly seeking attention from the opposite sex to validate themselves. Again, none of it's because of you, but when you're in that dopamine fixer cycle, you're setting yourself up to either not see someone else, even if someone good does come along, to co-create toxic dynamics with that person so that you just get into another toxic relationship, or three, attract someone who's doing the exact same thing and will sweep you away and be your knight in shining armor for the dopamine fix, but then isn't going to be able to actually sustain a healthy relationship. So yes, it's stopping you from meeting your man. And only when you come out of that can you, one, open up your awareness, detox from that dopamine addiction, and open up your awareness to other people and to the people that are actually out there that may well fulfill your needs and are healthy partners and potential. But also, getting away from that addiction is only when you can actually start to see what's going on and address your own wounds that led you to that. And that's when you can go into a new relationship in a completely different way. Whereas if you don't look at the wound, you're going to go back into a new relationship in the same way. So those are the three dopamine dating archetypes that you may be playing into. And maybe you find that you are acting in one of these archetypes in your dating life. And again, hopefully through some of my stories, you can see how they look, because I have done each one of these. So if you relate to this and you're feeling like, yes, this is me, like, I need to know more, how do I break the cycle? Today I was outlining them for you. If you want to know how to break the cycle, you're in luck, because I have a free, 100% free masterclass running next week called Fuckboy Free and Cherished. And essentially what it's going to do is walk you through how you can actually break these toxic relationship cycles and manifest a relationship where you are cherished, a healthy relationship where you are cherished. Instead of dopamine dating, in dopamine dating, it's all about short-term fixes for you and the other person. It's not cherished. It's ego. It's validation. It's let me flirt to get validation. It's let me try to win this person for validation. And often it's unconscious and people don't realize it. But if you desire something real, something healthy, something that feels safe, that feels fulfilling, that meets your needs, that allows you to stop letting your relationships drag you down in all these other areas of your life and actually thrive in your own life with this healthy partner by your side, then join this masterclass. The link is in my bio. It will be on Tuesday, the 22nd of August, which is a week from tomorrow, at 7 p.m. GMT. So that is where I will break down how you can actually break these cycles, now that you may have recognized yourself in some of these dopamine dating archetypes. I hope you enjoyed this live. Thank you for those of you that came live, and I'm going to share this as always onto my page so that if you missed the beginning, you missed some of the archetypes, you can go back and watch them. And of course, I will also share this on the podcast. If you fill the pool to join me in the masterclass, again, it's completely free and it is only going to be live for a short period of time. So don't miss it. Sign yourself up via the link in my bio and I will see you then. Bye.
So I hope you loved this episode. Thank you for listening and spending your time with me. And I really hope that it is empowering you and has empowered you to go for those goals and to know that you are so capable of manifesting all that you desire and all of that soulful success in your life, in your business, in your relationships, in any aspect that you desire it in. And if you did enjoy this episode, if you did find it helpful, if you did have some light bulb moments, please take a screenshot, post it to your Instagram stories and tag me at Leela Jasmine Sule. I would love to hear what you took away from the episode. I would love to hear how it helped you, but also it would be amazing if you could share the message and pass this on to more Grow Girls who would benefit from this. And if you share it on your Instagram stories, then of course all the Grow Girls in your community will also be able to listen and enjoy the goodness as well. Until next time, Grow Girls, goodbye.